looking at 17 of Satan's tactics. Satan uses a lot of things to defeat us and tempt us and distract us, and 17 is not a magical number. I didn't start out to get 17. I ended up with 17 and probably could have found more, and running out of room on my paper and figured if I give a couple of minutes to each one, that's going to fill my time. So, and when I finished, I said, anything significant about 17? And the first thing that came to my mind was the B-17 bomber, as known as the Flying Fortress as well. And I started thinking about the B-17 bomber, so looked up some facts about it to kind of share, because I'm thinking about bombing and destroying, and that's what Satan tries to do. The cost of a B-17 bomber in 1940 was $200,000. Today, $200,000 is equivalent to about $3 million there. The B-17 bomber was proposed in 1934, and it was to replace the Martin B-10. So I guess if I was preaching from the Martin B-10, I'd have 10 points instead of 17 tonight, but we're on the B-17 bomber. Before Pearl Harbor, there were fewer than 200 B-17 bombers in service. There were a total of 12,731 produced, and of that, over 12,000 produced, only 15, fewer than 15, are still flying today. One B-17 bomber sustained a mid-air collision with a German BF-109, and there were no injuries to the crew, and it was able to land after the mid-air collision. That's just hard to imagine there. And the last thing about the B-17 bomber, that during World War II, B-17 bombers dropped 640,000 tons of bombs over Nazi Germany there. 640,000 tons of bombs dropped. So the B-17 bombers were built to destroy the enemy. And so with the 17 of Satan's tactics, we know that, like the B-17 bomber, he is designed to destroy lives. We saw this morning where Jesus said to the disciples, I came not to destroy, but to save. Well, Satan is working the opposite, isn't he? He's doing everything he can to destroy. And the first of the 17 that you're going to see, I have this on tonight, it works well, okay? Number one, temptation. Remember that Satan came to Jesus to tempt him, and he tempted him three different areas there. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it might be made bread. Then he said, if you will worship me, then all of this will be yours. And then he says, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. And remember, after each temptation that Satan gave to Jesus, Jesus responded with, it is written, it is written. And he battled temptation with the Word of God. Well, Satan was catching on to that, and so after Jesus continued to respond with quoting the Word of God, then Satan decided he would do the same thing. So when he tempted Jesus and said, cast yourself down from hence, for it is written, verse 10 of Luke 4, Satan quoted the Scripture, it's written, and he'll give his angels charge over thee. And so it was like, you want to quote Scripture, Jesus? I'll quote some to you as well. And he's doing everything he can to get Jesus to sin. And of course he did not. And in 1 John 2:16 that you see on the screen there, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those three categorize all temptations. And Satan tempted Jesus in those three areas, and he tempts us in those areas as well to get us to do something outside the will of God, or to be something outside the will of God, or to have something outside the will of God. And that's what those three areas of temptation have to do with. Well, not only does Satan want to tempt us, as he did Jesus, one of the tactics he uses is doubt. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, that is to Eve, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And so it says that he's more subtle. That means he's more crafty and cunning. And he starts to put this word of doubt into her mind. And he does that by saying, did God really say that? And don't we hear that a lot today? Now, the attacks that we have and the temptations that we have and the doubts that Satan tries to get within our minds today, they don't all come directly from Satan, as we saw with the temptation of Jesus. Satan has people that he uses, and some, even without their knowledge, that he will use to try to cause us to doubt what God has said. And so here, Satan is not openly denying God's word. He's just planting that little seed of doubt in Eve's mind. Did God really say that? Certainly he didn't mean that. And we see society addressing that with so much today. Well, that's really not what God meant, is it? You know, God's a loving God. He really wouldn't send anybody to hell because he's a God of love, you know, and he starts to create doubt. So he uses temptation. He uses doubt. The next thing he uses, number three, contradiction. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, God said they would. God said the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. That is, begin to die that very day. And Satan said, no, God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And here's this contradicting message. And have you ever noticed that Satan's contradicting messages that go against God's word are usually more appealing than God's word? And that's what he does. He puts it out there. He contradicts what God has said. And so we look to the word of God as the truth. And Satan will come and he will try to contradict what God says. And there are many philosophical topics and theological topics. And whenever we want to know the truth, it's not necessary to find 10 different opinions. If you do that, they probably aren't going to be the same. And those opinions are fine if they line up with the Word of God. But what does the Bible say? Well, Satan will do everything he can to contradict what the Scriptures have to say there. Well, the fourth tactic that he uses is lies, which goes right along with contradicting as well. But in John 8:44, Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and he is the father of it. So Satan is a liar and God hates lies. The Bible says lying is an abomination to the Lord. That's why at our school, when we're dealing with children, we're teaching them, you know, that lying is a serious offense. There's no such thing as a little white lie. If it's not a truth, it's a lie. And Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies. So all lies originate from Satan. And so if we are lying, we're following right along after the devil. We're doing his kind of work. And that is so opposite to Jesus, because Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And God the Father is the father of truth, and Satan is the father of lies. And Satan will use lies. He will lie to people to convince them of things that are contrary to the Word of God. And we need to be careful and look out for Satan's lies. And whenever you hear something that sounds like, I'm not sure if that's true or not, what do? Go to the Scripture and you find it, compare it with the Word of God. Because if we find anything that is contrary to the Word of God, any lies, the truth of the Word of God will expose them there. Satan not only uses lies, but he uses something that's very closely akin to lies, and that is deception. And deception, I guess you could certainly say it is lying. Revelation 12:9, the great dragon, that is a reference to Satan, he was cast out, that old serpent. Remember, that's how he appeared to Adam and Eve. He's called the devil, the accuser, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, his demons, were cast out with him. And so here, this word has to do with to wander and go astray. And that's what deceiving does. You've heard the saying, misery loves company. Well, Satan here, he was cast out of heaven, and so he's now going to take as many people along with him as he can there. And so the attack is easier when people are led astray. It's easier for Satan, as we said before in the illustration that the Lord gives about the sheep, whenever the sheep stray away from the fold, they become an ideal target for Satan to go after them. That's why it's important for us to unite together and to support one another and be in the body of Christ together there. And that helps with deception that comes along. Satan will do everything he can to deceive. He tried to deceive Adam and Eve. He lied. He caused doubt. He brought in temptation. He does all of these things because remember his purpose. His purpose is to destroy. And if people knew where it was leading, they would stay far away. If the ox or the sheep knew that they were headed to the slaughter, you know, they might do things a little bit differently there. And God warns us of these tactics of the devil. Another thing he uses is accusations, verbal attacks. In Revelation 12:10, he says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And Satan loves to do that. He loves to make accusations. We finished studying the book of Job a few weeks ago, and two verses from the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? And so there he's accusing Job of serving God for no reason, or for a reason because God has blessed him so much. In chapter 2, verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said to God, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. And so then God gave Job permission, or Satan permission, to go and strike the body of Job so that he had this disease on him, and he would sit there with the ceramic, remember, and how he would scrape himself because he was in so much pain. And Satan said, if you do that to Job, he'll curse you there. And he accused Job of serving God because God had blessed him. Remember, Job was the wealthiest man of the East. He had great power. He had great riches. But that's not why Job was serving him. But Satan made accusations. And accusations can hurt people, can't they? They can destroy a person, even if they're not true. We saw with this political realm with Kavanaugh not long ago, with all the accusations that were there and damages that are done. And that's what Satan's all about, isn't it? Accuse, accuse, destroy. Doesn't matter if it's true or not, because Satan doesn't play by any rules. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He contradicts. He does all that he can because his goal is to destroy. Well, we see another tactic that Satan uses, and that is discouragement. Here we have the story of David. When David was a young shepherd boy, and his oldest brother, Eliab, comes, and it says, he heard when he spake to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said to David, why comest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. You're come down to see the battle. And he's trying to discourage David. Now, this is not Satan. This is his brother talking to him. And Satan will use people as pawns in his hand. If he can't devour and defeat people, he will try to cause us to be discouraged. And God doesn't want us to be discouraged, does he? It's easy to become discouraged, isn't it? There are a lot of things that can discourage us. That's why we have so many verses in the Bible that says, be of good courage. Take courage, because being discouraged is not trusting the Lord. And we find ourselves in those places oftentimes, but we don't have to stay there. We realize that God doesn't want me to be discouraged there, and Satan will use that, because if he can keep us down, then while we're down, you know what he's going to do? He's going to be kicking us. He's going to do everything he can once he gets us discouraged. I've shared with you before one of Dr. Falwell's quotes that we heard him say so often there at college. He said, "A man's greatness is not determined by his wealth or his fame, by rather what it takes to discourage him." And that we will not let Satan discourage us when people make accusations, even as David, his brother, did, trying to make him think he was just there to see the battle. David wasn't there to be a witness to the battle. He was there to say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" You know, and God's going to take care of him there. But Satan will try to discourage us to stay away from the battles, because he'll say, "You can't defeat this giant." But David was a man after God's own heart, and he was able to overcome Satan's temptations and the discouragement that he tried to put in his heart. Number 8, in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he gives us a warning, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And one of his devices is taking advantage of people. Sometimes you see that on the news, don't you? And you see where somebody has taken advantage of a child, whether sexually or some other way, you know, and to us who, as sinful people, we say, "Oh, that's disgusting." What about, you read in the news too often, and one not long ago, where someone was caring for an elderly person, and they just, $50,000, they swindled out of their account. And here was this elderly person who couldn't handle their own funds. They had entrusted it to someone else, and they had taken advantage of that person. How low is that? Well, this is what Satan does. He likes to take advantage of people. One of the illustrations I've used before that comes to mind is because of the way we keep score in tennis. You know, whenever you're scoring in tennis and someone's just about to win and they're 1 point away from winning, you say he has advantage either to the one serving or advantage to the one receiving the serve. That means they're 1 point away. And they're that close to either winning or that close to losing. And that's what Satan, and sometimes he wants to discourage, and sometimes in that discouragement, he can be that close to taking advantage of someone, to causing them to fall, because that's his goal, to destroy people's lives. Well, the 9th tactic that Satan uses is provoking. And 2 Chronicles 21:1, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. God had told him not to number Israel. And so here's Satan trying to stir him up. That's what the word provoke means, to stimulate, seduce, to persuade him. In the New Testament, we see a word that is used in a positive manner, where it says to provoke one another unto love and good works. So God wants us to stir up love, stir up fellowship, stir up support for one another. Satan is going to do just the opposite. He's going to, well, we hear the phrase stir up trouble there. And some people love to stir up trouble, don't they? Some people love to rock the boat. And that's what Satan does. He will do everything he can to provoke, to seduce, to stir up problems there. Number 10, in the book of Zechariah, he loves to resist what God is doing. It says, "He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord." That's a reference to Jesus, that his appearance in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the idea of this word in the Hebrew is to lie in wait, like to ambush, getting ready to attack. And Satan loves to resist what God is doing in a nation. Satan loves to resist what God is doing in a person's heart. If the Holy Spirit is working and convicting a person of their need of salvation, or if the Holy Spirit is working in a Christian's heart, convicting them about some area of their life that they need to get right with the Lord, Satan will come in And he'll resist that. He'll stand up against that and try to convince people not to yield to the Lord there. The 11th tactic of Satan, couldn't think of a good word for it, so I'll just call it causing not to savor the things of God. This is a story, as you will remember when you see the verse, where Jesus is talking to Peter. He says, "But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, and he said, 'Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men.'" And the word savor is a word that has to do with the mind. And so he says, Peter, your mind and your thoughts are not becoming focused on the things of God, but rather your mind is becoming focused on the things of man. You ever heard the term sidetracked? One of my children is not here tonight, so I'll pick on that one because he's not here. Maybe you've had things like that where you send your child to go to his room to clean the room, you know, and whenever they're cleaning the room, they come across some toys that under the bed or in the closet or wherever they were, they haven't seen in a couple of years, and all of a sudden, it's fascinating again. And so instead of cleaning the room, hey, here's this new transformer that he's found, you know, that he's playing with there and just getting sidetracked there. And that's what Satan likes to do to us, isn't it? He tries us to get sidetracked so that we're not savoring the things of God. Rather, we're savoring the things that appeal to us instead, and we're not staying on task with the Lord. Number 12 of our 17 of Satan's tactics is sifting in Luke 22:31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon," of course that's Peter's other name, Simon Peter. He says, "Behold, Satan," here's his tactic, "he has desired to have you." That is, Satan wants to claim you for himself. He says that he may sift you as wheat. And the idea of sifting is where they would take the grain and they would shake it and agitate it so that they separate the grain from the chaff there. And that's what Satan desires to do. He desires to agitate us. He desires to prove us by taking us through a lot of trials and afflictions there. And Satan wants to just separate us from our fellowship with the Lord. He wants to discourage. He wants to take advantage. He wants to deceive and provoke and resist and all of these things. Well, then we see he wants to hinder. He says, "Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Satan knows that he cannot totally stop God from doing what God's going to do. He cannot stop God's work, but he will do everything he can to put a roadblock in the way, put a pothole here. You know what these potholes are? You know, you hit it and aggravating and you try to swerve them. That's what Satan does. He likes to put all these potholes in the way and these roadblocks in the way because he wants to hinder us from serving the Lord. He has many tactics, more than 17, as I said, but we'll stop at 17. And number 14, he's our opposition. "Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil," remember this morning we talked about other believers who have different doctrinal positions. Next week when we look at eternal security, my parents did not believe in eternal security, and I grew up not believing in that, but they're not the enemy. The adversary, the opposition, is the devil. And it says he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. There. And so here is Satan as our adversary, and he's the enemy. And just like that B-17 bomber is looking to totally destroy the enemy, whenever we align up with Christ, we are at enmity with Satan, because Satan has been at enmity with Christ since the beginning there. And so he is the opposition there. And it says that he wants to devour us. He wants to totally destroy us. He doesn't want to just discourage us. He'll do that if that's what he needs to. He'll hinder us if he can, but his goal is to devour, to totally destroy, like the B-17 bombers would when they would hit, would totally destroy. Number 15, another thing Satan does, he likes to keep the word of God from taking root. It says, this is the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 that we saw Sunday morning a couple weeks ago. Those seeds by the wayside are they that hear, and then comes the devil, and he takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So if Satan can take away the word of God, he can hinder people from being saved. At least that's his thinking, because how do people get saved? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we know in our public schools, the word of God has been taken away. And Satan knows that if he can keep the word of God out. I'm thankful for some organizations. Art was telling me he's involved in one at Lakewood there, where students get together and they can have the word of God and they can teach it. But Satan knows if he can keep the word of God away, then he can destroy lives. He can keep people from getting saved. He is our opposition. He will do everything he can to steal the word of God. He will deny it. He will twist it. 2 Peter 3:16 says this, they which that are such are unlearned and unstable rest. And that word rest, I don't have it on the screen here, but it's spelled with a W. W-R-E-S-T. That means to twist. That's what Satan likes to do to the Scripture. If he can't steal the Scripture and keep people from reading it and hearing it, he will try to twist it and get people to believe things that are contrary to the Word of God. Then number 16, we see pride. This morning we saw that as well. A boldness and a self-confidence, and our confidence needs to be in the Lord. Satan said in Isaiah 14, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. And so in the New Testament, and we won't take time to look at those verses, Jesus used some phrases like, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. And he also had some phrases of, I will. And here's Satan trying to counterfeit and copy that, because he wants to get the worship and he wants to get the glory that belongs only to God. And pride will destroy a person. The Bible says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. And number 17, the last tactic Satan uses is to bind up people and to hold them as prisoner. In Luke 13:16, it says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, should not she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And so here she is all bound up. She has this infirmity here. And this word binding has to do oftentimes with grave clothes. They would take a person who was dead and they would just wrap them up and bind them. And of course, they weren't able to move, because not only were they bound, but they were also dead. But also this word has to do with being bound in prison. And bonds and chains and fetters, as it often mentions. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to bind people. If he can't destroy them, if he can't discourage them, he wants to keep them bound so that they don't know the freedom and the joy of serving Christ. Satan has many tactics that he uses. And so in conclusion, remember Luke 9 that we saw this morning, when the disciples said to Jesus, we saw someone that was casting out demons in your name, but they weren't with us. Do you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy them? And Jesus said, you don't know what kind of spirit you're of. I didn't come to destroy, Satan came to destroy. He says, I've come to save there. And we need to be careful of our attitudes, as we saw this morning, our spirits, and Satan is out to destroy. Satan wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy anything and everything he can, because he's got tons and tons of bombs that he's constantly bombarding us with, because he wants to destroy. He wants to defeat. He wants to devour. And if he can't devour and totally destroy, then he'll be satisfied to just get a victory. You know, sometimes in sports, you know, you see teams that just get football beat by 50 points. And then sometimes there are games like the one yesterday I heard about that was 74-72, you know, and it was seven overtimes, you know, and they just squeak by there. And sometimes there's just a defeat that's just barely a victory for one. But sometimes people just get blown away. Well, Satan will be satisfied with either one. He wants to destroy, but he'll take a marginal victory. If he can't do that, he'll seek to discourage you. If he can't discourage you, he'll try to detour you. He'll get you on another path. He'll throw a hindrance there. He wants to do anything he can do to keep us from following the Lord and the truth of his word. If we're going to be successful in battle, it's very helpful if we know the enemy's plan, if we know the enemy's weapons there. And the Bible says that beware of the many wiles of the devil, because he has a lot of arrows and darts that he's constantly shooting at us, because he wants to keep us from honoring Christ. We often talk about Christmas, keeping Christ in Christmas, and that's a good thing, but we also need to keep Christ in Christian, you know, and every day of our lives, we need to not let Satan get the better of us, but wholly follow the Lord, even as Joshua and Caleb did. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for warning us of Satan, the enemy. Help us to realize that other people that sometimes we consider adversaries, they're really not the enemy. Satan is our enemy, and he will use people, he'll use circumstances, he'll use things, he will use anything and everything. He has no rules. He wants to destroy. So help us to be alert to all of his tactics, and Lord, help us that we might honor you with our lives and not let Satan take advantage. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.